on the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there.' The disciples left, went into the city and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table, eating, he said, 'Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me. One who is eating with me.' They were saddened, and one by one said to him, 'Surely you don't mean me.' 'It was one of the 12,' he replied, 'one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would better be for him if he had not even been born.' While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take it, this is my body.' Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he had gave it to them, and they all drank from it. 'This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many,' he said to them. 'Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.' When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. 'You will fall away,' Jesus told them, 'for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you to Galilee.' Peter declared, 'Even if I fall away, if all fall away, I will not.' 'Truly I tell you,' Jesus answered, 'today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me 3 times. But Peter insisted emphatically, 'Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you.' And all the others said the same. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.' He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow, to the point of death,' he said to them. 'Stay here and keep watch.' Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed, 'If possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father,' he said, 'everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will.' Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. 'Simon,' he said to Peter, 'you are asleep. Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.' Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back again, found them sleeping. Because of their eyes were heavy, they did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, 'You are still sleeping and resting. Enough, the hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer.'" Good morning. Welcome to the Good Friday morning service. I trust you've felt the presence of God already in this room. And if you're visiting here today, there's a warm welcome to you. And this beautiful picture of Jesus on the cross. Thanks to Katie and the team for presenting us this beautiful display this morning. But the Gospel of John and Mark tells us that on the night of Jesus gathered his friends together, he said, "A new command I give to you, that you love one another." Then he demonstrated that love by washing the disciples' feet. And we've got a lovely presentation here of the water in the bowl. And sadly, it's not real water because I would have washed your feet. But Jesus only had 12 disciples. There's too many people in the room this morning. But every time we share communion, we hear these words, on the night on which he was. And what comes next? Betrayed. Isn't that interesting? Why don't we say that on the night in which he threw a big dinner party for his friends? Or on the night in which he showed us how to love? Or on the night in which Jesus saved the world? Why do we have to be so negative? On the night in which he was betrayed. Now, betrayal is not a fun word. Do you know what it feels like to be betrayed? Well, it actually begins that when we were children, when your sibling dobs you out to mum and dad, that's betrayal. Your best friend posts your darkest secret on Facebook, that's betrayal. Your spouse says, "I don't love you anymore." That's betrayal. On the night in which he was betrayed. It's not a fun word, is it? The reason we begin with the word betrayal is because the whole story of the Last Supper is sandwiched in between these two words, betrayal. Our communion text begins with Mark 14:22, but look at the passage directly before it. Jesus says in verse 18, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." And then at the end of passage in Mark 14:41-42, in the garden, Jesus says, "Here comes my betrayer." Notice who betrays them. Though back in verse 18, he says, "The one who is eating with me." Do you know what one of the prerequisites is for betrayal? It requires first being a friend. It requires being the kind of person with which you would share an intimate meal with. That is what Jesus means when he says, "The one who is eating with me." And we gathered here today in this communion to be reminded of what the church is really supposed to be. The church, we're supposed to be community. We share communion. We gather and we eat together with each other. To sit across the table, to share a meal, to share our stories and do life with each other, just as the disciples did. These are intimate moments. Think about the people that you eat with on a regular basis. Who are the people who are closest to you? Your friends that you hang out with and share meals with regularly? Your partner or your spouse, your family? Here's a pleasant thought. Here's a pleasant thought. They are the only ones who can actually betray you. Are the only ones. On the night in which he was betrayed, it's not a pleasant word. The word itself is the original language, literally means to give over. It means to take something that at one time you were holding and give it to someone else. In this case, Judas took his good friend and teacher, Jesus, with whom he had been travelling with and healing the sick and doing so much ministry and learning so much from him and feeding the hungry, and then gave him over to the authorities to be arrested, to be tried, and to be executed. But giving over is not the only way that Jesus was betrayed on the night. In the next section of Mark 14:26, after the meal, Jesus led his disciples into the garden and he says, "You will all fall away. All of you will become deserters." Deserters is not a pleasant word either, is it? The Greek word is scandalizo. Here is where we get the word scandal or scandalize. Tonight, all of you will become scandalous. Jesus said that the word of God is like a seed that falls on four soils. In Mark 4:17, the second soil is rocky and it says, "Since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, because of the word, they quickly fall away." The plant sprouts up quickly, but when persecution comes, they are scandalized. They fall away. They become deserters. On the night in which he was deserted. And he wasn't just betrayed or deserted. In Mark 4:31, Peter says, "Lord, I will never desert you. I will never be scandalous." And all the others said the same. Jesus just shakes his head and says, "Peter, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." To deny is to claim that you have never known or been associated with someone, as if you've never existed. Think about it. Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't want to admit that you were a Christian? Cock-a-doodle-doo. Think about it again. Has there ever been a situation where you've denied Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour? Cock-a-doodle-doo. And he wasn't just betrayed or deserted or denied. Jesus took them further into the garden and asked them to watch, to stay awake. Then he cried out to the Father and asked him that this terrible thing that was about to happen, this bitter cup that he was about to drink, would be taken away from him. And you see, the Father said no. The disciples, they fell asleep. No one was watching. He was abandoned by everyone. On the night in which he was betrayed, deserted, denied, and abandoned. This is a pretty awful story, isn't it? Why do we tell it? Why do we reenact it? Why do we gather here today? What does the next line say? On the night in which he was betrayed or given over to the enemy, he took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body." And on the night they betrayed him and gave him away, on the night they deserted him, and on the night they denied him, and on the night they abandoned him, he gave his body to them completely. But it doesn't stop there. Then he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood. It is a new covenant." You know, covenant means promise. This isn't a new promise. It's a renewed promise made even deeper. The first promise was to Abraham. He would be blessed to be a blessing, that all nations would be blessed through him. And it was sealed with a promise with the blood of a bull. And God made the promise to Moses and all the people of the law, and the covenant was sealed by sprinkling of the blood on the altar. It was a blood pact. It was the most binding kind of promise someone could make. On the night in which he was betrayed and given over and deserted and denied and abandoned, Jesus made a blood oath with his own blood that he would never, ever give us over to sin and death, that he would never, ever desert us, that he would never, ever deny us, and he would never abandon us. Now, the Gospel of John says that he washed their feet like a servant. And Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, love one another." Greater love has no one than this, that he lay his life down for a friend. Only a friend can betray. Only a friend can betray. And here is the mystery of the kingdom of God. Some of you may be asking, well, who is this Jesus Christ? Well, on the night in which we, you and I, gave him over, betrayed him, on the night in which we deserted him, and on the night which we denied him, and on the night which we abandoned him, Jesus spreads out his hands and gives us his body and his blood. And Jesus says, "I promise that I will make you whole." He says, "I promise that I will heal your hurts." He says, "I promise I will save you from sin and death." And he says, "I promise that I'll make all things new." Jesus spreads out his hands and gives us his body and his blood. Jesus gathered with his friends, with his community, to share this meal. In this moment, he teaches the most painful truth of the universe. In order to love, you have to risk. In order to love, you have to risk. To risk is to be willing to lose everything. If you never want to feel pain, then never risk loving someone. But if you want to know the deepest kind of love, then you need to be willing to lose everything for the sake of the other. That's what love's all about. This is the promise, and this is why we gather here today. Here today to come into communion together to remember the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We're now about to enter into communion together. But we're going to do it different today. I would like each and every one of you to come to the communion table, to eat and drink. And as you do, eat and drink at the altar, and then you may leave. While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it. This is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for you, for many." He then said to them, "Truly, I tell you, I will not drink of the cup of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." You know, we're living in perilous times. But to spend a week away fishing with a bunch of guys that weren't Christians, and they all said to me, they said, Kerry, this world is falling into a heap. We're in perilous times. There's no wisdom in our leadership. There's no love in our community. And people are searching. And you know what? We all have the answer. Those of you who are believers in Jesus Christ, we have the answer. All we have to do is to remember that answer. And this is why we do communion. So we remember what Jesus did on the cross for you and me. So I'll ask, the table's not that big. We've got emblems on each side of the table, but as you feel for it, just be at peace and just pray a little bit, and then come up and just partake. Partake in the bread first and then take of the cup. Do it in your own time. And then we have Sunday morning service at 9:30. The cafe's open if you want a cup of coffee. But just take this time of remembrance of what Jesus Christ did for you and me over 2,000 years ago on the cross. He is the ultimate and true friend that we all have. On the night he was betrayed, he gave his body for us.